Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's RINSE.com. These days, I can do anything from my phone. Book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's RINSE.com.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
After you searched apartment 175, what did you do next?
We searched 174, which was Melody Rudo's apartment. Everything appeared normal in there. There were no signs of JJ or anything that he was even there. But we also searched apartment 107, and that was completely vacant. There was nothing in apartment 107.
Did you seize anything from apartments 174 or 107?
We seized, in apartment 174, we seized some cash, large amounts of cash that were found in the closet. And the only reason we seized those were for safekeeping, because we had kicked the door in there as well, and it wasn't able to lock, so we took that.
Did you locate any weapons in any of those apartments?
So in apartment 175, when we were searching the garage area, we located several different style weapons, handguns, rifles, various calibers, army knives, a lot of different weapons that were inside the garage.
And why did you seize those?
Again, for safekeeping. That apartment didn't lock, and so we took those so it wouldn't be stolen.
And did you find any evidence that J.J. Ballard had been in apartment 174?
No.
Did you find any evidence that J.J. Ballard had been in apartment 107?
No.
Did you search any other building that day?
We did. And in apartment 175, we located a storage unit rental agreement contract. And on that storage unit contract was the name Lori Ryan. It had listed her as the tenant, and it listed the storage unit number as T52, and it gave an address of self-storage on Airport Road in Rexburg. So with that information, we were able to obtain a search warrant for that storage unit as well.
And did you participate in the search of that storage unit?
Yes, I did.
What did you find there?
There were a few bikes, children's bikes. There were boxes of winter clothing, some ice skates. There wasn't a lot in the storage unit. There was a personalized, like a family blanket, a big blanket with family photos that were kind of sewn onto the blanket. Those photos had J.J. Vallo, Tylee Ryan, and their sibling Colby Ryan. There were pictures of Lori Vallo. But other than that, there was nothing else really in the story.
When you performed these searches, were you looking for Tylee Ryan?
No.
So to your knowledge, she hadn't been reported missing?
That's correct.
Your Honor, I haven't reached that far.
Yes.
Mr. Wood, I understand this would be a good breaking point in this testimony for the lunch hour, is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and take our lunch recess at this time. Before we do that, again, I will just advise the jurors, please don't discuss the case amongst yourselves or with anyone else over the break. In addition, for those in the courtroom, we will be closing the courtroom, I believe, during the lunch break. So things you have in here will need to go with you. We'll reopen upon the conclusion of the lunch break, and we'll still be under the courts. Governing order for court of conduct on the return. So thank you everyone for complying with that. With that in mind, we'll go and take our lunch recess now.
All rise.
Thank you. Please be seated. Mr. Wood, before we proceed, is the state going to be ready before it's in the jurisdiction? Is there anything to bring up?
Yes, if you would have a sidebar about the issue, the evidence issue is not about it.
Okay. All right, we're on the record now. This is CR 22211623, State versus Chad Guy Dave. The jurors are not present at this time. Had a sidebar with counsel. Previously, a few of the exhibits that were offered and admitted had some reference material on them, base numbers, etc., from the case that the court raised a concern, and I believe Mr. Wood, what you've done is figured out a way to remove those references from the exhibits. And the court would note those references were not published to the jurors, and they won't be, so the court will permit those references to be removed from the exhibits before they are published or provided to the jurors. Is that how we're going to handle that, Mr. Wood?
Yes, that's my understanding, Your Honor.
All right. And Ms. Pryor, any objection from the defense to proceeding in that matter with those few exhibits?
No objection.
Okay, thank you. I'll make sure then that the original court exhibits to the jurors will have that information before the jurors are either published the information or received copies of it. And with that, then, I believe there are no other issues to take up before the jurors are brought in. Is the defense ready to proceed as well, Mr. Pryor?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, thank you. Then we'll continue with testimony of this witness and Mr. Wood, if you're ready, we'll have the jurors brought in at this time.
Thank you.
All rise.
All of the jurors present and counsel.
Thank you. Please be seated. We concluded the lunch break at this time. We're continuing with testimony of Detective Hermosillo and Mr. Wood. If you're ready, you can inquire. I'll remind the witness who's still under oath for your testimony.
Yes. Thank you, Your Honor. Detective, before we broke, we were speaking about the search of a residence. Can you remind us what residence that was?
Well, I believe it was apartment 175.
And whose residence was that?
Lori Gallo's.
Your Honor, the state would ask that the witness be handed the state's exhibit. State's exhibit 7A through 7K.
The witness is handed state's exhibits 7A through K. They've been reviewed by defense. Must be reviewed 24.
Detective, do you recognize state's exhibits 7A through K? Go ahead and take a minute and review them.
Yes, sir.
What do those exhibits report to be?
They are photographs that were taken of Lori Gallo's residence in the morning of November 27th, 2019.
And were you present? You testified earlier you were present at the search of that apartment on that date, correct?
That's right.
Did you walk through every room in that apartment?
Yes, I did.
Did you take these pictures?
No, I did not.
Do you recognize them as true and accurate representations of what you witnessed in that room that day?
Yes, I do.
Or, I'm sorry, in that apartment that day?
Yes, I do.
Your Honor, the state removed for admission state's exhibits 7A through K.
An injection from the defense.
What do you and native objection?
Yes, and these are my phone, please, Mr. Buck.
Your apologies. May I judge?
Yes.
Officer, what time were these pictures taken?
I don't know the exact time, roughly between 10 and noon, I would guess.
Are you guessing or do you know?
I don't know exactly what time, sir.
Okay. Who took the pictures?
I don't know who took the pictures, sir.
What day did they take the pictures?
I believe I testified November 27th, 2019.
Well, if you weren't there, how do you know if you don't know who took them or who...
Objection, he's going to stay in the testimony.
No, you can continue to work there.
I never once said I wasn't there. I was there the entire time on this.
Not what my question was. The question was, you weren't there when the pictures were taken, were you?
I wasn't there when they were taken, no.
Okay. You don't know the condition of the home when the pictures were taken, is that correct?
I was there when the pictures were taken, not standing next to the photographer.
Okay. So you were there when the pictures were taken?
That's correct.
And but yet you don't even know who the photographer was who took the pictures. Is that what you're telling me?
That's correct.
Is there a reason why you wouldn't know a photographer who's taking the pictures for a police investigation that you're in charge of?
I wasn't standing next to the photographer. I was inside the residence when the photos were being taken. At the same time they were being taken, I was standing next to
him. Okay, but the question I asked is, why is it that you don't know the name of the photographer when this scene was closed off for investigation pursuant to a search warrant, and you can't tell me who the name of the photographer was who took these pictures?
There were a lot of people that were part of that search warrant. I can't tell you exactly who took the photographs.
Well, that's what my concern is.
Prior, and we're getting speaking objections now. If there's a continuing objection, state the grounds.
Okay. Well, there were a number of people that were in and out of that apartment. Is that right?
In and out of that apartment? No, sir. In that apartment, yes.
How many people were in the apartment at the same time?
Roughly 10.
And you would know all of the names of the people that were in the apartment, right?
Correct.
Yet you don't know the name of the photographer who took the pictures. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, what I'm telling you, yes, sir.
Judge, I'm going to object.
Your Honor, I'm going to lay some more foundation.
All right, you can lay additional foundation, and I'll also note it is a group of photographs, so if you have to work through them individually, we will. I'll note just an objection on 7-8-K, and Mr. Wood, you can seek additional foundation can be laid before I rule on the objection.
Detective, you testified you were present that day.
That's correct.
And you recognize these images as true and accurate representations of what you saw in that apartment?
That's correct.
And is it a true and accurate representation of the condition you found the apartment in?
Yes, sir.
And as you look through these pictures, is there anything in there that is different than the way you found it?
No.
Your Honor, the state moves again for the admission.
Objection again, Judge. There isn't a proper foundation. The officer can't even tell me who took the pictures. He doesn't know what time the pictures were taken. And the condition he's talking about is the condition where he saw, not necessarily when the pictures, in the condition when the pictures were taken. So there hasn't been a proper foundation here.
All right. I've considered the objection. I'm going to overrule the objection as it relates to photographs finding the officer has personal observation of the location. The one exception that I'll consider a standing objection on is on 7G, which is different, I would say, than just showing the apartment. Not saying it's not admitted, but still under advisement, pending any additional objection or foundation. So photographs, with the exception of 7G, are admitted, and you can inquire further, Mr. Wood.
Thank you, Your Honor. If I could publish those to the jury.
Yes.
Secondly, can you tell me what you observed in State's Exhibit 7A?
That's the front door of apartment 175, front porch area.
And is this the apartment that you searched while you were for JJ?
Yes.
Detective, what did you observe in State's Exhibit 7B?
So as you walk into the front room of the apartment, that's looking towards the dining kitchen room area, there's a child's car suitcase sitting there. Like I testified earlier, it looked like it was lived in. There's still chopped things on the counter, paper towels, everything with the morning.
What did you observe from State's Exhibit 7C?
That's standing in the kitchen facing the doorway. So the opposite direction of the last photograph. You can see the stairwell going upstairs. There's still pictures on the wall, TV, thing, papers on the counter. Everything looked normal at that point as well.
Observed State's Exhibit 7D.
So when I testified about the crawl space under the stairs and the 72-hour kits, those are a few of the 72-hour kits, along with the Star Wars suitcase that we had located.
When you... Your Honor, does the court have a pointer?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know what stuff the bailiff normally develops on.
Can you point to what you're referring to describe the 72-hour kit?
So, these black bags.
Hold on a second. Mr. Wood,
yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
These black bags for the 72-hour kits. There's some underneath here that you can't see. There's some here, and then that's the Star Wars suitcase that I was referring to earlier.
Detective, what did you observe in State's Exhibit 7E?
That's the top of the stairwell looking down towards the bottom of the stairwell. This part right here goes into the front room, and the front door is right here.
What did you observe in State's Exhibit 7F?
This is the master bedroom. So when you come up the stairwell, immediately to your left is this entrance here. Like I testified, there was bedding, pillows, everything looked normal in the room at that point. This is a bathroom as well.
Detective, what did you observe in State's Exhibit 7H?
7H is what caused some red flags for us when we were searching the apartment.
Why was that?
Because of all these empty hangers. People go on trips.
Judge, I'm going to object as unresponsive. There isn't a question here. That's a narrative.
It's the same. Detective, I asked you why the empty closet was concerning to you.
Because when we made contact with Lori Mallow, the day before, she had lived in the apartment. She was in the apartment living. The very next morning, we served a warrant. This is what we found, empty hangers.
And Detective, why would empty hangers be concerning to you?
Because it appeared to us that she grabbed her clothes, left everything else, and took off.
Did you observe the state's exhibit 7I?
This was a bedroom. If you walk down the hall towards the west, this is the bedroom on the right-hand side. This is the bedroom we found Alex Cox, some of Alex Cox's belongings in. So this is the bedroom to the right.
And what belongings of his did you find there?
There was a plastic tub with some of his belongings in, some hygiene things that had his name on and things like that.
And what did you observe in State's Exhibit 7J?
This is the same bedroom. There's the, one of the plastic tubs that had some belongings of Alex. There's some prescription pills up here that had Alex's name on them. And then there were some white Tyvek suits that were in the closet area.
Did you observe the state's exhibit 7K?
This is the room to the left. So the previous room was to the right. This is the room to the left. It had twin beds, bedding, everything worked normal in that room as well.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be handed state's exhibit 7G again for further foundation.
Very well.
Beth, do you recognize state's exhibit 7G?
Yes, I do.
What does it purport to be?
A rental agreement with the tenant of Lori Ryan.
And you testified earlier about finding a rental agreement, is that correct?
That's correct.
Is this the rental agreement that you were speaking about?
Yes, it is.
And where was that located in the residence?
In the master bedroom on a desk in the corner.
And you saw it there?
That's correct.
And is that a true and accurate representation of the rental agreement you saw?
Yes, it is.
Your Honor, I move for admission of State's Exhibit 7G. Any objection?
No, Judge.
All right, Exhibit 7G is admitted as well.
May I publish?
Yes.
Second, is this the rental agreement we were just speaking of?
Yes, it is.
And you testified earlier about searching the storage unit, correct?
Correct.
Was this the rental agreement that led you to that storage unit?
Yes.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'd ask that the witness be handed what's been marked as State's Exhibit 8A through 8Q. Beckman, I'm going to ask you to take a moment and review State's Exhibit 8A through 8M. Second, what do State's Exhibits 8A through 8M purport to be?
Photographs that we had taken in number 175 in the garage.
And what day were these photographs taken?
November 27th, 2019.
And was this a part of the search that you testified to earlier?
Yes.
And you were present in the garage?
That's correct.
Were these items laid out in this manner when you got to the garage?
No.
Were they taken out to be photographed?
Yes.
And did you observe that taking place?
I did.
Right. And other than moving those items to be photographed, are these pictures, are these items in the same condition that you observed them that day?
Yes, in the same condition, like I testified to, we manipulated some of them so we could get better photographs.
And are they true and accurate representations of what you observed in the garage of that apartment that day?
Yes.
Your Honor, the State would move for admission of State's Exhibit 8A through 8M.
I'm sorry.
I should have said 8L.
Any objection as it relates to 8A through L?
Judge, what do you have any objections?
Very well.
Officer, as before, were you present when the pictures were taken?
Yes.
What was the name of the person who took the pictures?
Detective Dave Hope.
Were you present at the exact time the pictures were taken of all of these items?
Yes, I was.
Who else was present at the time that these pictures were taken?
I couldn't tell you who else was in the room.
Well, we were in a garage, weren't we?
Couldn't tell you who else was in the garage.
Were there so many people there that you don't know?
No,
Your Honor, this doesn't go into the foundation.
I'll allow a more for dire affiliations prior to continuing.
So many people in the garage, you didn't know who was there?
No, I just can't recall their names at this time.
They're not officers that work with you?
They are.
How big of a garage are we talking about?
I couldn't testify to that.
Okay. Two-car garage, one-car garage?
As far as I think we're getting with cause here, is this a foundation objection still?
Judge, I'm trying to establish. Judge, I'll move on. That's fine. See you.
All right. The court's considered foundation objection as it relates to exhibits A through L. All of all the objection of those may be admitted.
Thank you, Matt Bullish.
Yes.
What did you observe in the state's exhibit 8A?
So when I testified earlier about various magazines, weapons, there were knives, this is where we found those items.
I want to stop real quick to clarify, when you say magazines, what type of magazine are you referring to?
Magazines that go in rifles.
And you testified that you knew these items to take pictures of.
Correct.
And what did you observe in State's Exhibit 8A?
So here are some of the various magazines that we took out of some of the tubs. There's some ammunition. There's a few suppressors that screw on to the end of a gun to muffle the sound. There's a ghillie suit, different items in this photo that I think is possible.
Could you tell me what you observed in State's Exhibit 8B?
So these were items that were located in black plastic bags, which are right here that I'm pointing to. So we simply took those items out of these plastic bags and laid them out so we could get photographs of them.
What did you observe in State's Exhibit 8C?
These are various caliber ammunition in plastic bags that were located in plastic tubs.
Didn't say ammunition, those are for bullets, correct?
Correct.
What did you observe in State's Exhibit 8D?
This was one of the rifles that we had located in the garage in Apartment 175. It's got that tape here. What you can't see up top.
Judge, I'm responsive.
The state. I'm going to move the picture so you can see the top. What did you observe at the top of State's Exhibit 8D?
Like I was testifying to, at the top of this rifle, it's threaded for a suppressor to muffle the sound of a gunshot.
What did you observe in State's Exhibit 8E?
This rifle here is the exact same rifle from the previous picture. There's also another rifle that was in a bag, and that's this one here. This photograph was taken at the police department once we got the items back.
What did you observe in State's Exhibit 8F?
This is the rifle in the previous picture that was back here. It's just a close up of that rifle.
What did you observe in State's Exhibit 8G?
Those are what I call the suppressors from earlier. That there was a photograph of these two men on the garage floor. This is just a close up of both of those suppressors.
What did you observe in State's Exhibit 8H?
These are knives that were found amongst the ammunition in the rifles and tubs.
Can you describe to the jury what you observed in State's Exhibit 8I? Okay.
This is just a handgun that was also located that was still in the case inside the garage.
Did you observe in State's Exhibit 8J?
This is a Halloween mask, or what we think is a Halloween mask that was located in a plastic bag in the garage along with duct tape and rope.
You described the jury what you observed in States Exhibit 8K.
Once we remove the Halloween mask, this is the duct tape and the rope I was referring to in the Walmart bag.
Fine, what did you observe in States Exhibit 8L?
That is a passport that's located in belongings in that garage belonging to Alex Cox.
And Your Honor, I ask the witness be handed States Exhibit 8M through 8Q. Very well. Briefly review States Exhibit 8M through 8Q. Do you recognize those exhibits?
Yes, I do.
What do they purport to be?
These are items also located in the garage of 175.
Not yet. Did you observe these items with your eyes?
Yes, I did.
And you saw these on November 27th during your search of apartment 175?
Correct.
I believe you testified they were also in the garage.
That's correct.
Are these true and accurate representations of what you observed that day?
Yes.
Your Honor, I move for the admission of State's Exhibit 8M through 8Q. Any objection?
Yes. One to your native objection, Judge.
Go ahead.
Officer, you previously testified that you, I don't want to put words in your mouth, that you staged certain items. Is that a fair assessment?
Correct.
And some of the items that you staged, or that I mean, what I mean staged, you removed those from packages or boxes, and you laid them out to take pictures. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Did you take pictures of all the items in the garage, or are these just selected pictures that you've decided to show today?
We took photographs of the items in the garage, anything that we thought was evidentiary value. We did photographs.
Okay, so the question is, the answer is then that you did not take pictures of everything that was in the garage. Is that fair?
No, Judge, Your Honor, this is cross, not, doesn't build a foundation of these items.
I did to sustain that. We need to get a narrow issue of foundation for admission or not, and we need to be allowed to cross later, of course.
So the question is that when I hear previously that you took items out of a package, and you took pictures of select items. Did you take all of these items out of some sort of packaging and take select pictures of these as well?
Yes, we took these out of tubs that were in the garage and took photos of.
So when you were there and present going through the garage, and we don't know how big this garage is because you don't know, you couldn't see these in plain sight when you went through them, correct?
That's correct.
So you don't know what was in the garage and what wasn't. These were staged by someone else who took the pictures, is that correct?
We took these out of tubs and took photographs of them.
Who took them out of the tubs?
I couldn't tell you what officer took them out of the tubs.
When did they take them out of the tubs?
Are you asking for a time, sir?
I'm asking for a time, yeah.
Roughly 10 to 12, I would say.
In the afternoon, in the morning, when?
10 o'clock in the morning, till 12 noon.
And you were present when they were taking these out of the tubs?
That's correct.
And who took these pictures, officer?
You take it home.
Judge, I have nothing else. Thank you.
All right. I'll rule an objection on foundation relating to exhibits 8M through Q, and those will be made.
Thank you.
We
have a question.
Detective, can you describe to the jury what you observed in State's Exhibit 8M?
Okay. That is what appears to be an email printed item that was located in the garage of 175. There's some handwritten scribbles on it, some names, numbers associated with those names.
And at the time that you found those documents, did you understand what that meant?
No.
Were you able to determine, you said it was an email, who the sender of the email was?
Yes.
Who was it?
Chad Dale.
Could you, were you able to determine who the recipient of the email was?
I don't recall the recipient. Just who sent it.
Oh, I apologize. I didn't get that down.
I just remember who sent the email.
And you, were you able to tell what date it was sent?
I believe it was October of 2018.
Is there a specific date?
I would have to look at it a little closer. It's in the upper left-hand corner.
Second, I'm going to have the state's exhibit A, and if you can describe what you observed there for the jury.
It's the same photograph from the last slide.
And state's exhibit A, though, presume. Oh,
that's also more of the same email papers from the last one.
In fact, if I were to have states exhibit A and that, would you be able to tell the date of the email?
Yes.
What is the date on that email?
October 30th, 2018.
And the detective, what did you observe in State's Exhibit 8P?
Those were also on the tab books written by Chad Dale.
And then lastly, what did you observe in State's Exhibit 8Q?
That was a cell phone that was also found in the tub in the garage.
Were you able to look and get that cell phone at any time?
As far as forensically,
yes.
I wouldn't be able to tell you unless I looked at the report.
Okay. Detective, we've been talking about this search on November 27th, correct?
Correct.
And at any time that day, did you locate JJ Vallon?
No.
What was the next step in your investigation to find JJ?
Our next step was to talk to anybody that would take our phone calls. JJ was...
Judge, I'm going to object. This is, again, becoming a narrative.
Your Honor, you're still just answering the basic question. Over without objection.
JJ was who we were looking for, and so we were exhausting every effort to find JJ, so we would call his siblings, family members, any family, friends, anybody that might know whereabouts of JJ.
So who were some of those family members that you spoke with?
We ended up speaking with Brandon Boudreaux, Melanie Boudreaux, JJ's brother, Colby Ryan. Gilbert Police ended up speaking with family members down there. That's who we spoke with.
At any time during your investigation, did the scope of the search change into who you were looking for?
It did. After
Why was that?
After we spoke with Colby Ryan, who was JJ's brother, he mentioned that he
Judge, I'm going to object. This is hearsay.
Sustained. Detective, at any time did the scope of your search change to include the search for Tidy Lane?
It did.
And so let's go back to your search very briefly on November 27th. Did you see Tidy Lion at that apartment at any time?
No.
And during your intermittent surveillance you talked about in early November, had you seen Tidy Lion?
No.
Did you ever meet Tidy Lion?
No.
Did you become familiar with who she was through your investigation?
Yes, we did.
How did you do that?
After speaking with Colby, our search encompassed JJ and Tyler.
Yeah, I'm going to ask the witness we had in States Exhibit 5. I believe this comes in by stipulation.
It does. Judge, we've stipulated the admission from this exhibit. The counsel would be so kind as to repeat the exhibit number for the
witness. 5.
Thank you.
All right. Exhibit 5 has been offered and admitted. You can proceed, Mr. Wood.
Thank you. Detective, do you recognize States Exhibit 5?
Yes, I do.
What is it?
It's a birth certificate issued out of the state of Texas.
Your Honor, may I publish that for the jury?
No objection.
Well, Detective, were you able to read that on the screen?
Yes.
If you could point out with your pointer the name of the individual or who that birth certificate applies.
The name is Tylee Ashlyn Ryan.
And what was the date of her birth?
September 24th, 2002.
And where was she?
Travis County, Texas.
And just for purposes of the record, can you state who her father was?
Joseph Anthony Ryan, Jr.
And who was her mother?
Lori Noreen Cox.
Through your investigation, have you learned of Lori Vallow's maiden name?
Yes.
What was it? Okay. So, Detective, you testified that at this point you were approximately when did the scope of your search widen to include Tylee Ryan?
It was after we spoke with Colby on December 11th, 2019. We entered JJ Vallow and Tylee Ryan into what we call NCMEC, which is the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. So on December 11th, 2019, we entered both of those children as missing and endangered.
How does NCMEC work?
It's a center where...
I'm going to object at this point on the foundation.
Mr. Rose, if there's any additional foundation, I believe it hasn't been
worked. Okay. Well, can you restate again what the acronym NCMEC stands for?
National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
And is that associated with a government entity?
It is.
Do you know which entity?
I don't.
Okay. Have you ever used NCMEC before in your job as a detective?
Yes.
Okay. How have you used it before?
When we have missing children. We enter and call NCMEC, enter their information, and it goes into a database.
Mr. Wood, for the record, could you indicate what that acronym is?
Yes, Your Honor, it's NCMEC.
Thank you.
If you'd like, the detective, can you just state what that stands for again?
National Center for Missing and Exploited Children.
Did you include any other law enforcement agencies in this search?
We did. After November 27th, we reached out for assistance from the FBI. We reached out through Fremont County. So we were in contact with Gilbert Police, Chandler Police, anywhere down there where JJ or Tylee lived or could possibly be at.
And did you ever try to contact Lori Daybell in regards to the whereabouts for children?
Absolutely.
How did you do that?
We tried contacting Lori by her cell phone. We also attempted to contact...
Well, let's talk about that real quick. Were you able to talk to her?
No, her cell phone was shut off.
Did you ever attempt to contact Chad Daybell in regards to the location of the children?
Yes, we did.
How did you do that?
we attempted to contact him through his cell phone.
And were you able to get in touch with him?
No, it was also shut off.
And at any time, did Lori Vallo ever call the Rexburg police to report missing children?
Judge, objection. Foundation.
Response, Mr. Wood?
Your Honor, it's just a basic question. I think it's in line with the question we've been going through. I don't know what additional foundation I can
give for that. The foundation is overruled. What is the answer?
Did you ask that again, please?
Did Lori Vallo ever contact the Rexburg police, to your knowledge, regarding missing children?
No, she didn't.
Did Chad Daybell ever contact the Rexburg police regarding missing children?
I'll renew my objection, Judge. College foundation.
It's overruled.
No, he didn't.
Detective, when you placed the children in the NCMEC database, you received tips from them?
Yes, we set up tip hotlines through NCMEC, also through the FBI and through the Rexburg Police Department. So anybody with any information on those two missing children could call any one of those numbers and provide us with any information.
And did you ever receive tips through NCMEC regarding J.J. Vallo, Tyler Green?
Yes, we did.
What would you do when you received those tips?
When we would receive the tips, we would assign it a tip number. And those tips were followed up on by detectives or other officers. So as soon as those tips came in, there would be a number and then assigned to an officer or a detective to follow.
And would those tips, when they come in, do they have a phone number associated with them?
A lot of times they did have a phone number. A lot of them were anonymous. They didn't want to get involved. So some of them had phone numbers where we could follow up. Others didn't.
And if someone submits an anonymous tip through NCMEC, is there anything you can do to follow up on that?
It depends on the information they gave us, but we would follow up with any information that they had put on the tip.
And when a tip comes in with a phone number, would you call those individuals back?
Yes.
Did you ever alert the public that the children were missing?
We did. We held a press conference on November 20th, 2019, and alerted the public that we had two missing children in our yard.
And after that press release came out, did you receive tips after that?
Yes, we did.
And did you follow up on those tips as well?
Yes, we did.
Did any of those tips ever lead you to finding J.J. Vallo?
No.
Did any of those tips lead you to finding Tyler Ryan?
No.
Detective, regarding Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallo, are you aware if a child protection action was filed in Madison County regarding them?
Yes, it was.
Were you involved with that?
I was the one who wrote the affidavit.
And what was the purpose of that affidavit?
Judge, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what the officer's response is. I was the one who wrote the affidavit. Thank you.
You don't want to ask questions?
I will. I'm just letting the witness bring the water.
I'll do shit.
Detective, what was the purpose of that affidavit?
To get Lori to produce her children to the Rexburg Police Department or the Department of Health.
And are you aware if there was an order issued in that child protection action?
There was.
What did it order?
It ordered Lori Vallo to produce her children within 5 days of being served at court.
Detective, were you ever able to locate Chad Daybell in Louisville?
Yes, we were.
How did you do that?
A few different ways. Some of the tips that came in gave us location in Kauai, also through cell phone data.
Judge, can I have some foundation as to time, date, location?
Are there foundational objections?
I'll just ask some questions, Your Honor. Approximately when did you learn about the location of the Chad Moore?
Beginning of January of 2020.
And you stated earlier, but what kind of tips gave you that information?
Eyewitnesses that would call in that said they saw Lori and Chad on the island of Kauai.
And where is Kauai?
In Hawaii.
Did you ever write warrants or apply for warrants to aging and finding Chad and Lori?
Yes.
What kind of warrants were those?
We wrote warrants for cell phone data, geofence location, a few different warrants through cell phone companies to assist us in finding Chad and Lori or their location.
And then, did any of the data you received from those help you locate them?
Yes, it did.
Second, did you ever go to Kauai as part of your investigation?
Yes, I did.
And what did you do when you were, when did you get there?
I got to Kauai January 24th, 2020.
And once you got there, what was the purpose of going there?
We went there to aid and assist the Kauai Police Department in serving that court order to produce J.J. Tiley to the Rexburg Police Department.
Right. And did you see Chad Lori Daybell in Kauai?
Yes, we did.
You mentioned assisting the Kauai Police Department in serving that order. Are you aware if Lori Vallow was serving that order?
Yes, she was on January 25th, 2019, correction 2020.
While you were in Kauai, did you do anything else?
We observed the Kauai Police Department serve two search warrants. One on Chad and Lori's condo, and the other on the rental vehicle.
Did you perform those searches as well, or just observe the Kauai Police Department do it?
No, we just observed and let them search.
Do you recall where their condominium was located in Kauai?
I don't recall the physical address, but it was Princeville.
And is that a town or city in Kauai?
Yes.
When you observed the search of the residence they were living in Princeville, after the Kauai Police Department did their search, were you able to walk through that residence?
Yes, I was.
Right. What did you observe at that residence?
Everything looked normal. It appeared two adults were living there. There were beach towels, two beach towels. Everything was in pairs. Food in the fridge, couches. Everything seemed ordinary.
Did you see J.J. Vallow there?
No.
Did you see Tyler Ryan there?
No.
Did you see anything that would have indicated to you that a child was living there?
No, I didn't.
Did you observe anything that would have indicated to you that a teenager was living there?
No.
Detective, to your knowledge, did Lori Vallow ever produce her children to the Rexburg Police Department or the Department of Health and Welfare?
No, she didn't.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be handed State's Exhibit 6. Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 6?
Yes, I do.
What does it purport to be?
It's a photograph of Tyler Running.
As part of your search, did you look at Tyler Ryan's social media?
Yes, we did.
To your knowledge, was this image obtained from her social media?
It was. It was taken from her Instagram account.
And so as part of your search, did you personally observe her Instagram account?
Yes, I did.
And did you personally observe this image on her Instagram account?
Yes, I did.
Is this a true and accurate representation of what you observed on her Instagram account?
Yes.
And also, as part of your investigation, did you see other pictures of Tati Ryan?
Yes, I did.
And is this individual, is that a true and accurate representation of Tati Ryan?
Yes.
Your Honor, the statement moved for State's Exhibit 6 to be entered into evidence.
No objection, Judge.
Very well. Exhibit 6 has been offered and admitted without objection, so it's in the record and will be published if you wish, Mr. Board.
Thank you. Detective, is this the exhibit we were just speaking of?
Yes, it is.
What was the username on the account that you found that picture in?
Tylee A. Ryan.
And this individual is the Tylee Ryan that you came to recognize through your search?
That's correct.
Detective, I want to ask you about the phrase proof of life. Are you familiar with that phrase?
I am.
As a detective, what does that mean to you?
Proof of life is any documentation, any video, photograph, anything that we can use to show the last time somebody was saw alive or seen alive.
Pursuant to your investigation, did you find a last known proof of life for Tyler Bryan?
Yes, I did.
How did you locate that?
That was taken from Lori Vallow's iCloud account.
And what? Do you know which iCloud account it was taken from?
Lori for Style at iCloud.com.
And what was the form of that proof of life?
It was a photograph of Tylee taken at West Yellowstone.
Your Honor, under that, ask state or the witness behind the state's exhibit 29A, 29B, and 13. And I believe he's coming by way of stipulation.
All right. Defense for me as well.
Judge, that's correct. I'm by way of stipulation.
All right. I'll just review those briefly. Then we'll... That will go inside by the counsel.
Sure.
Be submitted to the witness. And I will note that exhibits 29A and B and exhibit 13 are all admitted without objection. You can proceed, Mr. Witness.
Thank you. Detective, will you look at State's exhibit 13? What does that report to be?
That is the photograph taken from Warrior Styles, I thought him, that testified to earlier with Tylee and West Arrows.
If I may publish.
Yes.
You can just identify the individuals in that photograph, Detective.
Sure. The little boy is J.J. Vallow. The Tylee Ryan's in the middle, and their uncle, Alex Cox, is on the right.
And as part of this exhibit, did it contain metadata?
Yes, it did.
And did the metadata in this instance, well, can you describe to the jury what metadata is?
Sure. Metadata is like a time and date, as a time and date stamp with a photograph that's taken. So it's just data associated with the photograph.
And this photo was accompanied by metadata?
That's correct.
And what date was this photograph taken?
September 8th, 2019 at 2:49 p.m.
And you testified earlier that this was in Yellowstone?
Yes.
How do you know that that's Yellowstone?
I've been there.
So you personally recognize that location?
Correct.
Detective, revisiting this idea of proof of life. Throughout your investigation, were you ever able to find photographs dated later than that of Tylee Ryan living?
No.
And can you describe just quickly where you found that photograph?
From the iCloud account associated with Bordeaux.
And I believe you already said it, but just for purposes of the record, what was the name of that iCloud
account? LordForStyle@iCloud.com.
And how do you know that that account was associated with Bordeaux?
The information attached to it and also the photographs that were attached to it.
And when you say photographs, what type of photographs led you to believe that that was attached to Lori Vallow?
Family photographs, Lori Vallow's photographs with her in the photos.
Detective, pursuant to your investigation, are you aware of a last known proof of life for J.J. Vallow?
Yes, I am.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask this. The witness be handed States Exhibit 14, which I believe also comes in by way of stipulation.
From our record, again, Mr. Ward, it's been stipulated to and not admitted for this. Is there an objection to the 14 main admitted?
No, Judge, it was entered by a stipulation of parties.
14 is admitted.
Detective, what is State's Exhibit 14?
What is a photograph of JJ sitting on a couch in what appears to be the front room of apartment 175?
And where did you locate this picture?
That was also on LordForStyle.iCloud.com.
And you mentioned you believe you recognize the location. I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Yes, it appears to be the front room sitting on the couch that was found in Lori Vallow's apartment, in apartment 175.
And did this picture have, well, may I publish it for the jury, Your Honor? Can you just describe to the jury what you observed in State's Exhibit 14?
That's J.J. Vallow sitting on the couch in red pajamas.
And did this picture, was this picture accompanied by metadata?
It was.
Is this the metadata that accompanied that picture?
Yes.
What was the date of that picture?
September 22nd, 2019.
And you know what time of day it was taken?
11:46 a.m.
And just to clarify, what iCloud account was that? Was that picture taken from?
Also, LordForStyle.iCloud.com.
So, Detective, you testified earlier that, well, you testified earlier that an order was served on Lori Vallow to produce her children.
Correct.
And I believe you already testified that she did not produce her children.
Correct.
What was the next step in your investigation after that?
Our next step in that investigation was to reach out to anybody that would possibly know where JJ was.
Who would you reach out to?
We reached out to family, the FBI, other agencies, anybody that would take our calls, tips that were coming in.
Detective, while you were doing this investigation, were you aware of any investigation in Fremont County regarding Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
And what did you know? Were you a part of that investigation?
I was a part of it, but my focus was mainly JJ and Tyler.
And what was the investigation in Fremont County regarding?
A suspicious death involving the defendant Daybell's wife.
And as part of your investigation, did you know when she had died?
Yes.
When was that?
October 19th. Of 2019.
You testified that your primary focus was locating Tylee and JJ, correct?
That's correct.
Your Honor, we just have a very brief sidebar.
Yes. To make every effort to be concluding trial and stay at 3:30, including today. We are going to take our mid-afternoon break at this time. And just for your reference as well, in case I forget to mention, we'll be going through evidence and testimony again tomorrow, scheduled 8:30 to 3:30. And then with some scheduling issues, we are going to not be holding court on Friday. And so we'll be back on Monday. I just want to make you aware of that schedule as well. So we'll go until 3:30 today, but at this time, we will take our break. So if we can try to keep the break to 20 minutes, I appreciate it.
You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
These days, I can do anything from my phone, book a vacation, order a meal from a five-star restaurant, buy and trade stocks. But maybe the most amazing thing I can do is make my dirty laundry disappear and then reappear perfectly washed and folded. I have Rinse to thank for that. I just schedule a pickup in the Rinse app or at Rinse.com. A Rinse valet comes to get my clothes, and before I know it, they're back, crisply folded and ready to wear. They even do dry cleaning, which is returned hanging in a nice Rinse garment bag. And with Rinse, my satisfaction is guaranteed. If for any reason I'm not happy, they'll re-clean my clothes for free. Best of all, Rinse saves me tons of time each week. That's time I get to do something I love versus something I have to do. So if you want to save loads of time by not doing loads of laundry, remember, there's an app for that. Rinse. Sign up now and get $20 off your first order at Rinse.com. That's Rinse.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.